shall see when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day. I shall see, and when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Hallelujah. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Worship him this morning. Oh, what a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see. And when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through promised land.
What a day!
What a day!
Glorious day!
Glorious day that will be. And there is coming a day,
hallelujah,
when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, and no more tears to dim the eye, and all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see. And when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand,
that's what you hear, Paul.
Leads me through.
That's what you hear when you come.
Promised land, oh, what a day, glorious day.
Well, I have to put that to an end here because I got a lot to talk about. I've got a lot to talk about. And I'm just glad you're here or there, but with us at the same time. God bless you. God bless you. You are special to me all over the world, all across the globe, Australia, New Zealand, Russia, South Africa, I mean France. Oh, we're getting a lot of listeners in France. I love that. I love that. Russia, yes, Russia, you know, just all over the world, we're available, both internet and Facebook, internet and Facebook, and everybody on Facebook, I expect you to share this. I do. I mean, we've never had over 10 or 15 shares. Oh, I remember a time or two, 30, but it ought to be 100. I mean, you ought to share this with everybody whom you are acquainted with because they need to hear this today. We're going to deal with the seven trumpets. The seven trumpets right in the middle of the tribulation period is where they begin. Seven trumpets. And they are indeed spectacular. They, woo, They are really spectacular. Now, there's a new doctrine out there, maybe 20, 30 years old, called, let me see what it was called. All of a sudden here, my mind goes blank. But it's called well, I'll say it in a minute. But anyhow, it starts with saying the rapture takes place at the seventh trumpet, that's the last trump. Well, they're talking about the wrong group of trumpets, really. This trumpet has nothing to do with the rapture. It's all about a very special thing that we're really going to enjoy talking about today. It's called the pre-wrath concept. The pre-wrath. That means right before the darkest period of the 7 years, the last half of the last half. That's the fourth. The end of the tribulation period of four. Well, they're all wet, but you know what? How do you tell people? They get something, some idea in their head, and somebody says, have you read Rosenthal's book? He's the man that came up with this theory. And no, I haven't read his book, but I read the Bible. Why do I need to read his book when I read the Bible? I would only read his book if I wanted to change to his theory. But I don't believe in human theories. I believe in biblical truth. I believe in the Word of God. Oh, the Bible is emphatic. It is absolutely perfect. You can depend upon the infallible Word of the living God. Welcome to Open Bible Dialogue, Open Bible Telecast. It's both now, Open Bible Dialogue on the radio stations across the country, and then Open Bible Telecast on both Internet and Facebook. Where you have to look at me. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Somebody says you got a face for radio. Well, I love doing it on the camera. I really do. Because I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you. And I'm bringing you the truth the best I know how. Because I want to be a blessing to you. Now, let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 8. That's where this theory mainly is. There are seven trumpets. Seven trumpets. We see four of them in the eighth chapter. We see two of them in Revelation 9. And we see we see one of them in Revelation 11, verse 15. Revelation 11, verse 15. Let me go read the last one first. That may convince you. The book of Revelation 11, 15. And the seventh angel sounded. That means they sounded the trumpet. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of the world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. It isn't talking about somebody going to heaven. It's talking about all of God's people coming back to the earth. I mean, they've got it completely turned around and backwards. So he's talking about the kingdom of the world and the kingdoms of the Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign. That's on earth forever and ever. Oh, so it's really talking about coming back to the earth at the end of the 7 years to set up the kingdom on the earth. That's the millennial reign. Isn't that beautiful? When we will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And then New Jerusalem will come down out of heaven and be situated probably right over the present Jerusalem. And it'll be right up there in the atmosphere, right above Jerusalem, the natural Jerusalem. And it will be 15 miles high and 15 miles square. 1,500, I'm sorry. 1,500 miles high and 1,500 miles square. And it will have 12 levels, 12 different levels of 1,500 miles times 1,500 miles. That's going to be a lot of mansions. I'm here to tell you, I wouldn't want to try to multiply how many mansions will be there, but they'll be there in abundance. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And where I am, there ye may be also. So we're going to be with him. We'll be with him in heaven for the 7 years. And we'll be with him on earth for 1,000 years. Then we'll be with him on earth for eternity. Forever and ever and ever. Now let me read you, going back to chapter 8, a few verses here. And show you. Now this is spectacular. Before the seven trumpets can sound, there's got to be a special ceremony in heaven. And it's a worship ceremony, and it's a worship in which the prayers of all saints are brought to bear upon the whole idea of judgment. Let me read it. And when he'd opened the seven seals, I'm sorry, my throat. Wow. When he'd opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I, silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them was given seven trumpets. Notice the trumpets now. This is the sounding of the trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. Stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne of God. Now here we are. Here's the great golden altar, right before the great throne of Jehovah God. And this angel is about to give to seven angels a trumpet, each one of them a trumpet. But before he does this, he has all kinds of incense, good smelling, ornament. And he takes this incense and he mixes it with the prayers of all saints. Every time you pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the prayer that prays for this kingdom that right now we're dealing with in this great passage of Scripture. So when you pray, thy kingdom come, you're praying for this blessed day when the kingdom of God is going to come to this earth. Do you understand? It's going to be a grand occasion. Now, he's fixing to allow seven angels to blow seven trumpets, one at a time, but before the prayers of all saints are brought here before God. And they are actually brought before the golden altar, it says. Now, that's the prime altar right before the presence of God. It's the golden altar on which the blood of Jesus Christ has been poured and is still there available in redeeming power to redeem any soul that will come to him. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers, ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. Now, you say, Brother Chambers, this is a strange event. They're fixing to turn seven angels loose to blow seven trumpets. But they're so spectacular, and this event is so meaningful, that the first thing we do is they have a time in which the prayers of all saints, 6,000 years of godly men and women praying and seeking the face of Almighty God. I want to tell you something. One of the most important things you ever do is when you pray. Don't work all the time for Jesus and pray none. Mix your work with your prayers. Mix your prayers with your work. And spend time in the presence of God, loving him. I don't know why I've got this tickle in my throat. Forgive me. Will you? Big cup. How about that? I didn't mean to advertise to anybody, but my throat needs it. Listen, saints, I'm telling you, this is wonderful. This is spectacular. This is an overwhelming event. All the prayers of all the ages are put with incense, and they ascend up before God and his throne. Now, what is about to happen? Let me tell you what these seven trumpets sounding mean. It means God is about to cleanse and redeem this universe. This is our property. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He meant this for us. He meant this earth for saints to live on in harmony and holiness forever and ever. And the devil stole it from Adam and Eve in the garden. And God is about to take it back. And this particular part of Revelation, these seven trumpets are sounding that they might herald God's cleansing and redeeming of this earth. Now, it seems horrible, the things that happen as these trumpets sound. But all of it is the prayers of the saints. It's the prayers that God is receiving from us who have sought him over the years and prayed. Nothing you do is more important than praying. I have nobody out there that doesn't have a mighty, wonderful prayer life, because that's what you need. If you're going to be any good for God, you better have a good prayer life. Because if you work more than you pray, if you play more than you pray, then you are in trouble. I'm here to tell you, praying is a wonderful part of this Christian life. And so here it is, ascending up before God. just before the seven trumpets begin to sound and God starts the redeeming process of this earth. Now, you remember those seven seals that started the whole event in Revelation 6 and 1. Now you have seven trumpets, and now you're in 8 and 1. The last of the trumpets sounds in 11:15. Then in chapter 15, there's seven vials, and the vials are again in the hand of angels, but these are different angels. These are regular angels here with the trumpets, but those are priestly angels in chapter 15. They come out of the temple. They come out of God's heavenly temple, and they come and begin to pour out the vials. And the vials are poured out on the Antichrist kingdom. They are specifically designed to pay the Antichrist and all of his followers, everybody that takes the mark of the beast, the whole crowd of one world religion, one world government, one world educators, one world everything, that whole globalistic crowd will be judged, and they will come under the wrath of God when the vials are poured out, beginning with chapter 15. I believe that's verse 17, but chapter 15, you can find it. I want to tell you something, friend. We are living so near the ending of this world as we know it and the beginning of the redemptive time, the time of cleansing and purity, the time to restore things to the rightful owner, to the rightful culture, the rightful standard. Time to get things straightened out and cleaned up. And I mean, you read the paper and it makes you hurt. It makes you so sick inside. I've been weeping over lost people the last days. I mean, just weeping. My soul just feels great consternation when I think of the multitude out there. They won't listen. They won't pay any attention. They probably already cut me off by now. And they're going to be lost. They're going to be eternally lost. And I'm crying out for them, hungry for them to be right with God. Now, after this prayer time, after this great prayer time, then they begin to open blow these trumpets. Let me read them to you. Just read three or four of them. And the first angel sounded. Now listen. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire. Mingled with blood, followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of all the trees of the world were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Now that's cleansing this earth. That's cleaning the world. Do you understand that the germs of filthy living fill almost everything? Do you understand you go to a hospital and you may get some germ that will kill you? Hundreds of people die every year from germs in hospitals. You realize before we can have a pure earth, God's got to clean this thing up. God's got to burn up every disease and every wicked thing that has defiled the land, every dark thing that's made our world unclean. And there you see it. God pours out upon the earth hail and fire mingled with blood. A third of the trees are burned up, and all the grass is burned up. And the second angel sounded, and it was a great mountain burning with fire. A great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. The third part of the sea became blood. You understand this? And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there was a great star from heaven burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the water became wormwood. And men died of the water because they were made bitter. Now that's just three of the seven trumpets that sound. There's one more here. And then there's two in chapter 9. Now you got to think a minute about chapter 9. That's the program we did last week, in which you had hail doors open. And the wicked, the godless, the ungodly that fill the bottomless pit beneath hell. Millions of both men, souls that were vile and wicked, and angels that were vile and wicked, and they all are turned loose on the earth, millions of them, and the damage they do is breathtaking. the damage they do is breathtaking. And that was the seal 5 and 6. And then you had seal 7, I just read to you. That's in chapter 11, verse 15. And that's where the whole thing comes to a conclusion. And the kingdom of God comes to this earth. I mean, he's cleaning it up. I mean, he's getting rid of germs and wickedness. He's cleaning up the earth because it's been defiled. It's been made a wilderness. Filth has been spilt all over it. Can you imagine the filth that comes out of killing unborn babies? Can you imagine the wickedness and the darkness that comes out of same-sex marriage? Can you imagine the lying, the cheating, the stealing, the wicked things that are just everywhere? And God has got to wipe the world clean of them. God has got to judge them. And God's got to bring us to righteousness and purity and holiness. Now, I've got 12 things that are going to result from this period. And I'll read them to you beginning in a moment. But let me first welcome you to this telecast. You know, Brother Chambers is not here for any reason but to teach you the great things of the Bible. I've never heard anybody preach on Revelation chapter 8. I mean, it is full of a picture of God bringing judgment upon wickedness for one reason, redemption. Redemption, cleansing and redemption. You need to say that word over and over, cleansing and redemption. If somebody says, oh, what ugly things God's going to do during the tribulation period, what dark things are going to occur, what terrible things are going to happen. Well, if you had an acre of woods out in your territory, and it had become infested with rattlesnakes and copperheads and all kinds of moxican snakes, and it was just full of them. And there was no way to get rid of them. You tried to kill those moxicans and those rattlesnakes. That whole acre of woods was dangerous. You couldn't walk through it. You had to put a fence around it for your children. And you had to get rid of those wicked things in that acre of land. What would you need to do? Go in there and set fire and burn that entire acre. That's the only other way to get rid of those snakes is to burn that acre. Well, that's exactly what God is doing right here. It's a simple real illustration. Do you understand it? An acre full of rattlesnakes, an acre full of the most poisonous snakes you can imagine. You're dead in 20 minutes if one of them bites you and you can't get rid of them. There's no way. And so you just burn them to death. I mean, you burn them and clean it up. And then you can go in there and cut the trees and make it a beautiful garden. And that's what God's got to do. God wants to make a garden out of this world. God wants you to be planted with azaleas and roses and every kind of flower. God wants you to be a place of pineapples and oranges and grapefruits and bananas. God wants you to be a place of the most beautiful fruits and just all kinds of beauty. He wants gardens everywhere. He wants a place of absolute loveliness. And the only way is to clean out these rattlesnakes. You got to get rid of these copperheads. You got to get rid of these wicked things. That's exactly what Revelation chapter 8 is all about. Is that as simple as a minister can put it? I think it is. If you don't understand that, you say, it's terrible. No, it's not terrible. If you were standing there and you lived around close to that acre of rattlesnakes for 10 years and you'd had them to crawl out of there and you had to watch for them, you couldn't go out at night without wearing boots up to your, always past your knees. You had to be careful everywhere you went because those snakes would come out of that acre of land and infest other things. And finally, your husband goes out there and he burns them out. He burns them out. Wouldn't you be proud of him? Then shouldn't you be proud of God? Because God's going to get rid of these rattlesnakes. God's going to get rid of these copperheads. God's going to get rid of this wicked, 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 ungodly, filthy, filthy stuff that's everywhere. And he's got to burn it out. And that's exactly what you see. Isn't that beautiful? I love it. I am grateful that I have a God that loves me that much. Now, I want to open the lines. I've already talked half the time almost, but I want you involved. Let me give you a phone number. I'll get it back up for you because I want to hear from you, okay? 704-391-0588. You got it? 1-800-338-7884. You got it? JRC, this is email. You can text me. I'll go there in a little bit and check. JRC@paulcreek.org. Now, I want to hear from you. I want to spend these next 37 minutes answering your questions, helping you understand this dire subject, this breathtaking subject, this breathtaking time when the kingdoms of our God shall come again to this world. Can you imagine? When the kingdom, I love that last verse. Oh, I love it. Chapter 11, verse 15. You listen to this. And this is the seventh seal. Somebody says, that's the last seal. And that's when the rapture takes place. Well, you tell them, go read it. And you let them go read 11 and 15. And the seventh angel sounded, a trumpet that is. And there were great voices in heaven. Great voices. Heaven's having a good time right now. Heaven's shouting. Heaven is praising. They're saying, holy, 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 holy is the Lord. The kingdoms of the world are come. The kingdoms of the world are become. The kingdoms of this earth, in other words, are become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. Can it be any purer, any more simple? The kingdoms of this world, that means this earth, have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Don't sound like a trumpet blast to get people up there, does it? It's coming down here. It's very opposite of what they say. It's those great saints who were raptured in chapter 4, and now they're coming back to the earth. That's what it really is. And so it's the opposite of what the pre-wrath people would say it is. And now I want to hear from you. I want you pre-wrath people to call me. I know I've got some of you listening because I already teased you on Facebook to get you listening. And I want to hear your question, okay? I really do want to hear your question. You are important to me, and I love doing anything I can do to get your attention and to bless you with these wonderful truths. Now, I want to give you something while you are calling. I want everybody out there to get a copy of this great little booklet. It's really large. What will it be? It'll be about a dozen pages, maybe 20, maybe 15, 16. And it's a big little booklet, and it is an article all about the seven trumpets. Well, it really, I only deal with four of them to a great extent. I mentioned the three, the seven. But I want you to get this because it will educate you. You can give it to your pastor. I'm going to preach on this. I'm already working on a sermon on this subject. Because it is breathtaking. I love this thought of the prayers of the saints being all protected and all kept in God's great, in God's library. And every bit of them, every one of them, all prayers, it says. Don't say some of them. It says A-L-L. All prayers are going to be hurled up and worship and praise to the great God. And then He's going to use our prayers as a great instrument of His cleansing. His blood, of course, is primary. His blood is primary. But we're part of it. See, God does nothing without His saints. We are important to His kingdom. Now, I want to give this to you. Everybody who calls, the ladies, right now, the ladies are answering the phone, and they want you to call and to send this to you free. Okay? Send it to you free. Grab your phone. Let's get it to you. I am concerned that you educate yourself, that you learn deeply, profoundly, and beautifully. Now grab your phone. All four lines are now open. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Now I'm going to sit back, and I'm going to wait on your calls because I want to answer your questions, and I want to help you, and I want us to grow in this great wisdom of the Bible. So many people are so unschooled in the book of Revelation. So unschooled. I mean, it is breathtaking what this book says when you read the book of Revelation and really put your heart in it. It's breathtaking, the good things you will learn. It's breathtaking, the inspiration it will give you. I get so excited when I'm reading about the end results. See, everybody, not everybody, many people read and all they see is the dark stuff. the fire, the brimstone, the judgment, and they get all, they get all negative and critical. No, don't read it for the things you see being done. Read them for the purpose in which they are being done, to cleanse, to purify, to get rid of those copperheads and moxicans, rattlesnakes, and clean this earth up so that you and I can set up a kingdom with Christ. And we can plant gardens and grow the most beautiful flowers and have the most marvelous world. It'll be a paradise. It'll be a utopia. It'll be a utopia. I saw a picture of a utopia the other day, idea that some rich person had, and they wanted to have a utopia and make everything beautiful. And the best they can do is kind of get it a little looking better, clean it up a little bit, pave it, plant some flowers. But if you wait till God's people get a hold of this, you wait till it's our world and we set up the kingdom on the earth. And righteousness rules from beginning to end. And the whole world is a righteous place. It's going to be something grand. Now, lines are open. 1-800-338-7884. Don't you sit there and not ask me the question you want to ask me, okay? I'm very, very concerned to answer your question. Because you are important to Brother Chambers. You are important to Brother Chambers. Now, I'm going to the internet to see if maybe there are some people with messages. Internet, where are you at? Internet, where are you at? Well, did I miss it? Oh, it's here somewhere. I'll find it. Give me a little time. You know, it is so important. It is so important. Here we are. Now, do I have any questions that have come in? I don't see a one. I want to hear from you. It's all open. I'm waiting on you. If you have a question, I will do my best to answer it, okay? There are none I can see, and everything's up to 112, nothing for the last 28 minutes. Grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884, 1-800-338-7884. Want to hear from you? You're important. Want to answer your question. What do you think about this whole seven trumpets? Are you one of those who've been kind of hooked into the pre-wrath version, thinking that last trump is the trumpet of the rapture? No, that's not the last trump that the Bible is talking about. That's the seven trumps that are the seven feasts that was given to Israel. And the last feast was the Feast of Trumpets. And it's that last trump in the Feast of Trumpets that is the sound of the rapture. And it will sound very soon. We're waiting on it right now. I would like it today. I would like it today. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Now, I'm waiting on your calls. I want you. Don't you just sit there. Everybody should be involved in a program like this. And your questions help others. You don't know. Some people are just scared to call. They don't want to be heard on the radio. There may be some that just think maybe I'm a little bit over the board, and they want their neighbors to hear them thinking maybe they're over the board. Well, don't worry about that. I mean, everybody has a right to their opinion here in America. Oh, you say, no, they don't. Yes, they do. They may get people trying to cut them off. There's people who would like to stop me from saying these things I say, but I'm not going to let them, and I don't think God's going to let them, because I want you to know the truth. Now, I've got 12 things that's going to happen that all go with this great period of time. And I can talk the whole hour if you don't get on your phone, okay? I can give it to you, and you'll have a lesson that is big enough to really, really make your life sweeter in the things of the Lord. Maybe your preacher will get a hold of it and preach. Listen to me. Number one, the coming judgment is proof. This judgment is proof that God loves his saints, that he would keep our prayers, have them all preserved, all available, and the angels of God would bring all those prayers into focus, and before he starts cleaning up this world of ours for us, his angels bring their prayers, and they ascend up, and they bless the heart of God. They warm the very emotion of the Father. They bless the angels of heaven. They become a marvelous memorial of great saints of God who lived clean and godly and pure and walked with God and lived a Christ-centered life. Now, that's the first thing we see is the coming judgment This whole seven trumpets is proof that God loves his saints because he's getting ready for us. He's getting things cleaned up for us. He's cleaning up the rattlesnakes for us. He's cleaning up the dark diseases and the dark germs and the terrible afflictions and the terrible things happening to people all over the globe. He's cleaning every bit of that up. There will be no reason, there will be no way that men can be sick again. There'll be no way that men can be crippled again. There'll be no falling, breaking bones again. It's all going to be pure. And that's what it's all about. God getting the world ready for those he loves. For those he loves. Number two, the fire falling on the wicked is purifying the world for us. Fire falling on the wicked, purifying the world for us. You understand that? Purifying the world for us. Even every vestige of our suffering for Christ will be vindicated. I like that. Everything you've ever done for him, every time you've suffered for him, every time you've been persecuted for him and you took it gracefully, every time you had a bad situation in your community, in your job, on your job, in your fellowship of people, everything you've ever suffered, you're going to be vindicated and you're going to be blessed, and God is going to remember to pray to bless you and give you honor for all you suffered for him. God is establishing a wall between the righteous and the wicked. See, that's one thing he's doing in this judgment. He's establishing a wall between the righteous and the wicked. He is saying, no, you're not going to have to live with the wicked anymore. You're going to not have to suffer the pain of people's anger anymore. You're not going to be treated ugly anymore. There's not going to be anybody that can come against you again. All of that's eliminated. He's separating the righteous from the wicked. Beautiful. The wicked will be turned on the wicked. Now, that's one thing that happens in the fifth and sixth seal. Trumpet. The fifth and sixth trumpet is the wicked turn on the wicked. The wicked turn on the wicked. They crawl the walls, climb the walls. It's horrible to read, but it's good because you know the result. You know, it's cleaning up those dark people that live down the street that cuss and swear and fight and shoot. And you can't let your kids out the door unless you watch them, because you know the action of some of these people. All of that's going to be eliminated. Oh, that's going to be over. It's going to be gone. I wish they'd get saved so they wouldn't have to be part of the judgment part. But many are not going to get saved. It's going to be terrible. It really is. Satan will be allowed to literally make a fool of himself. Satan will be allowed to make a fool of himself. Don't you forget that now. Even the one world religion is hated by the people who created it. That's one thing you see in this. You see that the one world religion, that all of these religious people who are into globalism and into dominionism, I'm finding more and more preachers into dominion. Dominionists, they think they're going to set up the kingdom. You just don't know what a fool the devil's making out of you. You just don't know what a fool old Lucifer is making out of you. He isn't going to have no kingdom. It's going to be dark. Well, he's going to have a kingdom, but it's going to be hellish. And God will judge it. That's what we're seeing right here. That God allows the devil to make a fool out of himself. Even the one world religion. Even the one world religion is hated by these wicked people, and they will destroy it. The center of the one world religion is going to be burned to the ground. You realize that as part of this? The center, Rome, is going to be burned to the ground. Did you know the Roman Empire of the Catholic Church is going to be totally destroyed by fire very, very soon? You didn't know that, did you? Well, that's what we're talking about. Some of these trumpets sounding and God cleaning things up. God making this earth a righteous place. God making this world a holy place. God getting rid of all these false religions that many of you are buying into. And you're going to be judged with them. You're going to be judged with them. Hey, grab your phone. I'm waiting on you. I want some calls. I know this is heavy. I know this is unusual. I know you've never heard it discussed, maybe. But I'm giving you the beautiful side. I'm not giving you the ugly side. I'm telling you, you can't clean up an acre of rattlesnakes if you don't set fire to them. And that's what we're talking about, God cleaning up this world and making it a holy place. Now, I want you to have this. You need to call and get it so you can use it in a Bible study. You can preach from it. Everybody gets this. It'll be on internet in about an hour or so. You can go right to www.paulcreek.org. That's www.paw.creek, another dot, and then O-R-G, okay? You go right to the website in about an hour, and this whole article will be right there on our web. All you got to do is browse around a little bit. Hey, I went on our web the other day to see how much I've got on it about the rapture. And there's a place in the front page of our website, www.paw.creek.org. There's a place in the right corner, the front page, the very top, where you can search. It says search. It's very small, but look up there and write whatever you want to search. Write the word rapture, R-A-P-T-U-R-E, capital R, rapture. And you will find it's there 724 times on our website, unless something's been added. I don't think I've added anything. Maybe this program, I don't know whether, no, it's not up yet. But I'm telling you, it's there. If you want to study about the blood of Jesus, put in the word blood. And it'll be there 777 times. And you can follow and find each one of them. Okay? I mean, you can get a college degree, a seminary degree, I should say, right on our website because of the material that God has helped me to write and prepare. Yes, so much is absolutely overwhelming. Let me give you that address again now. www.paw.creek.org. Okay? I hope you go. If you can't get that, go find Joseph Chambers. It'll be connected somehow to Joseph Chambers, and you can find it. I want you to learn. I want you to get all this truth in you. I want you to become so full of truth until it's like a glorious storm of grace inside of you, making you a blessing. So that everywhere you go, the Bible shines in you, and you can talk about it to your friends and your neighbors and your loved one. Now, remember, the center of the one world religion, which is Rome, the Catholic headquarters, the Vatican, is going to be burned to the ground. Did you know that? Burned to a cinder. Coming. The Antichrist does it because he uses religion until he's through with it, and then he destroys it because he don't like it, except as a vehicle to do his ugly deeds. Now, God is showing us a picture of the consequence of sin and wickedness. That's what these eight trumpets does. It shows us the consequence of sin. See, if you live in sin, you're going to suffer. It's coming home to you. You better hear me. Oh, I beg you to hear me. I really do. Brother Chambers is nothing but an old man who's got a burden for your soul. And I care about you. And I want you right with God. I want you to live for God. Oh, I got a good sermon for you in the morning. I'm excited about my sermon in the morning. I'm preaching in the morning. An empty vessel gathers uncleanness. An empty soul. If you have got, you see, you have a soul. Every one of you have a soul. It was God given. It came from the Father. There's one thing that fits rightly in the soul, and that's God. That's the things of Christ. That's the kingdom of the Lord. And so if you don't fill it with Christ, it will get filled with all kinds of stuff from the world, from some of your doings, some of your thinking, other people's books, other people's material, other people's action. Before you know it, your soul will be as unclean as a rattlesnake den. And you'll be a vile, hateful creature. You ever meet anybody that has just gone on in sin until they become vile and hateful? That's what I'm going to show you tomorrow, is how that happens. You wonder why some of these wicked people can't be helped and nothing will change them. Nothing will get a hold of them. I'll tell you why they just are wicked until they're wicked, until they're just completely full of it. And so they have a soul full of wickedness. Oh, don't miss that sermon in the morning. I hope you'll come to Paul Creek, 5110 Tuckasegee Road. 5110 Tuckasegee Road. I promise you, I preach gentle and tender with an anointing of the sweet Holy Spirit. It's all with love. You won't come here and be lampooned. You won't be embarrassed. You won't be discouraged. I promise you, nobody will cut you down. Love will meet you at the door. Love will meet you at the door. You say, well, I may not dress like y'all. You don't have to worry a lick about that when you come here to visit us. You come in here and visit us however you happen to have to be, and we will preach Jesus to you and be a blessing to you because we care. We really do. Let me go on. God is showing us a picture of the consequence of wickedness. The seven trumpets are all about the price of godless living. The seven trumpets are all about the price of godless living. Do you understand that? I got two more I came up with this morning. The ultimate results of these seven trumpets is the purifying of the earth so the kingdom can come. So the kingdom can come. So the kingdom can come. Well, the lines are open. Grab your phone, will you? Come on, grab your phone. I want to help you. I want to talk to you. I want to hear your question. I want to hear somebody argue with me and tell me why they believe in the pre-wrath concept of the rapture. I'd like to talk to you about it. I'd like to show you what has happened and how you've been deceived and how some preacher got some idea. His name was Marvin Rosenthal, and he got some, I don't know how he dreamed it up, and wrote a book about it, and now it's a big theory out there. A lot of people believe it, but it doesn't have an ounce of truth. Not an ounce. There's nothing in the Bible to prove it. In fact, the Bible disproves it totally. Grab your phone. I want to discuss it with you. Do you? Will you do that? All right. I've got the numbers in front of you. I shall remove them because I don't want to keep them in front of me. I'm here because I care. I love you. You're wonderful to me. And I want you to grow in the Lord. Now, number 12, the earth is being stripped of the wickedness that the wicked man have brought upon this earth. So it could be a holy place, a godly place, a pure place. So that the righteous can rule and the godly can rule and the lamb can play with the lamb with the lion. I think that's right. The lion can play with the lamb. Everything will be a world of beauty. All right. You know what? The coming of the Lord is at the door. All of this book of Revelation is at the very edge of fulfillment. We are right now in the end of chapter 3. The coming of the Lord is chapter 4. The great rapture. John was caught up to heaven, saw the throne, and saw the great saints around the throne. And they were dressed in their garments of white, and he saw the Holy Spirit there, and the great cherubims were there. And then he saw them, you know, celebrate. What a celebration they had. And then Jesus took that book from the Father's hand, Revelation 5, and began to open the seven sealed book. Now, the seven sealed book, Jesus said, was the fulfillment of Daniel's vision. The abomination of desolation takes place in the middle of those 7 years, right in the middle. We studied that Wednesday night, and that was a good study. Now, I want to hear from every one of you out there that loves the book of Revelation. Will you grab your phone? Grab your phone. You love the book of Revelation. You believe the whole book. Let me hear you. Let me hear you what you say about it. Grab the phone, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. That's the local number. And now the toll-free all over America and Canada, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Grab your phone. Want to hear from you. You're important. Want to teach you the things of Christ and how soon the coming of the Lord is. And there's no question but that this eighth chapter, and then you got a little bit in the ninth and a little bit then in the 11th, that brings you to where the kingdom of God becomes God's, the earthly kingdom becomes God's kingdom on earth. Hallelujah. And we reign with Christ and with the Father forever and ever. Won't that be a wonderful day? That really is going to be a special day. Now, next week, we're going to continue on. We've got two or three more subjects here to try to give you a full picture of the book of Revelation. That's really all I'm trying to do, is get you to get into the book of Revelation. You may read the book of Revelation, and there may be a few things you disagree with me on. We're not going to fall out with you. We're not going to get mean and ugly with you. We're not going to tell you off. We're just going to try to be a blessing to you. Get you excited about reading the book of Revelation. How many out there has read the book of Revelation during the year of 2017? I'd like to know how many people listening to me have read the book of Revelation in 2017. Say you didn't read it in 2017. How about 2016? Call me. Let me know what you thought of it. What you got out of it. What it said to you. What it did for you. Did it stir you spiritually and get you hungry after God? Did it make you more anxious for the Bible and the teachings of the Scripture? Well, what good did it do you? Did it really? I mean, when I read it, I get so excited. I read this last night, and I was so thrilled as I read and learned. And I thought, wow, this means more than I thought it did. It's bigger than I ever thought it could be. You know, that's just how great the book of Revelation is. It's just no end to it. No end to it. And I want you in it. I want you learning from it. I want you growing in it. I want it to bless you and be a blessing in your life. And I want you to become rich in the things of the Lord and the things of Christ. Now, as we kind of, we got about 12, 13 minutes here, and I hope I can have some questions. I've really enjoyed teaching you. I've enjoyed what I've brought to you on this subject. Remember now, read the whole 8th chapter. That has the first four trumpets, then chapter 9 has the next two trumpets, and then chapter 11, verse 15, has the one last trumpet. You can read all of them. 4 in chapter 8, 2 in chapter 9, 1 in chapter 11, verse 15. And you'll have the perfect picture of the seven trumpets. And you can see exactly what they're saying. I mean, you can understand every one of them. They're just as simple as they can be if you'll just take them literal. Now, if you try to not take them literal, then you'll get all confused. But take them literal. When you take them literal, you are really going to be blessed. And I want to tell you again, I'm going to have a great sermon tomorrow, and I want it to be a blessing to you. I really do. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Pastor Chambers. Good afternoon.
Hey, my friend. Hey, this is Corey.
Pardon?
This is Corey.
This is Les.
Okay, sorry. Wrong voice. I thought I had you tagged. But go ahead. Glad to have you call.
Yeah. Something I've noticed in the body of Christ, you know, you have some people who believe there's just going to be one return, and some people believe there's going to be a separate rapture and then the second coming. How can people who only believe in one return look at what the Word says? Because one, it says we'll go to meet him in the air. Then it goes on later on. It says he'll come down to the earth and touch the Mount of Olives. How can anybody look past those two different events and claim there's only going to be one return? I can't understand that. It's plain as
Let me tell you the simple thing. They read the book of Revelation and they do not take it literal. They think of it as simply a symbolic lesson, and the meaning of the lesson is we win in the end. And so they take nothing literal. They just read it and see it as a symbolic book, where you and I see it as a literal book. Well, how could it be anything but literal? You realize that John actually saw this book, the majority of it, in visions. They were acted out in front of him by some great host of angels, or however God created it, and he saw it. He saw it happening. You can't make something symbolic out of something you see. If you was going down the road and you saw a beautiful home beside the road and you're looking at it, that must be symbolic. That can't be real. Somebody think you're crazy. That's what I would say about John if he thought the book was symbolic. No, the book is real, and that's their problem.
That's what I've always believed. And I thought it's right there in front of you, and you're making the people are making something out of it. It's not that hard to understand. I mean, I give God the glory and the Spirit the credit for giving me the understanding, but they make a lot of things that's in the Bible, people make hard, and it's very plain as to what it's saying.
When you take the Bible literal, see, when I was saved, I could not read. I was a school dropout. My daddy was a tobacco farmer. He was an alcoholic, and I had my life was just in scrambles, and I was living dirty and unclean and doing every kind of ugly thing. And at 16, I was wonderfully born again. Well, when I got born again, they gave me a Bible and said, I need to read it. I said, well, I can't read. And they said, well, learn. And so I learned to read with the King James Bible. And that's an honest statement. I learned to read with the King James Bible. And now I have two doctorate degrees. You know, where did you get it? Reading the Bible. Everything I know. People ask me, want me to understand some things that don't mean nothing to the Bible. And I just say, I don't have time for that. My whole life is given to the Bible. And that's been 65 years I've been a Christian.
Yeah. I always get amazed how people, when they read Revelation or various other scriptures and along that same line, and it's like it's obvious two different events.
Do you understand chapter 8 that I've just talked about?
Yeah, I've been reading. In fact, I called you, I think, a week or two ago about Revelation, how people need to read it every couple
of weeks.
And I just finished it up this week again, and I had your book, another pastor's book I've been, you know, reading along with it. I mean, once you get into it and you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you through it, it's not an intimidating book.
You're exactly right. Could say it better. I'm as simple as they come, and I understand it and love it. In fact, it gets richer every time I read it. It gets deeper every time I read it. I got things out of this 8th chapter last night and this morning. Man, I said, this is exciting. I even got my wife in there, started telling her some things and reading her some things that I'd written. And I was reading some of the things out of the book, The Masterpiece, which I'd written. Some of my material is from that book that's in this particular lesson. And it's just wonderful. And if people would learn that, all they got to do is quit being smart in their own capacity and depend on the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. And they just got to get away from that fear they've had.
Yes.
Always been put around the book of Revelation. And if you are a Christian...
Where do you think that fear comes from around the book of Revelation? That's the devil's doing. The devil wants to make you scared of it because it'll change your life.
Yeah, he makes them think they can't understand it. Well, no, through natural mind, you can't. So that's why we have the Holy Spirit. He said he will teach you. I'll send him and he will teach you. So, you know, it's just a matter of whether or not they're going to have belief that what Jesus said about how the Holy Spirit will teach us, or they're not going to believe it.
Thank you for calling, my brother. Your question and your thoughts have been wonderful. God bless you now. God bless you.
God bless you too.
Let's have another call here quickly. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. 704-391. We got 6 or 7 minutes. I want to spend it talking to you about the book of Revelation. I really do. It is one grand book. It is really one grand book. And you just need it. You really do. And it will bless you. It will bless you. And we'll go back to a little more of that song that we opened up with here in a little bit. But in the meantime, grab your phone. I want to talk to you. And don't want you to miss that sermon in the morning. I really believe there's a multitude of sinners out there who think you're saved. And all you got's a little religion. And if I could get you in church tomorrow to hear this sermon, it would probably change your life. And you may just get in that altar and surrender your life to Christ. Nobody will push you here, but you'll certainly be invited. And I'm here to tell you, you need to get in this book and you need to learn that your soul is a vacuum, that only God fits in it. Nothing else fits in your soul that fits right. It just gets all concocted and all messed up and all out of whack. And you wonder why you're so miserable. You wonder why you have no joy. You wonder why you have to take drugs to go to sleep. You have to drink a beer to be able to rest in the evening. You realize all this junk you're doing to try to settle yourself down is nothing but a dirty soul. Nothing but a soul full of nasty stuff. Full of doubt and fears and apprehensions. And if you get all that out of there and get it full of just simple Christ, just simple the Bible, just simple God, you'll be amazed at the difference your life will mean. You'll become a happy person instead of an old grouch. You'll become a happy wife instead of an old growling wife. You'll be a happy husband. Your wife will say to you after a few days of watching you, she'll say, honey, what is wrong with you? You acting like a different person. Oh, mama, I went to church and gave my life to Jesus. And he moved in and took over. And oh, the difference. There was an emptiness in there. I go to people's homes. I was at a man's house some time ago. And he'd been going to all the different religions, trying to find the right religion. I want to find the right one, he said. I said, well, if you find one where the God of that religion gave his son to die on the cross for you, to save you with his blood. Come back and tell me about it. And he looked up at me, and a smirky grin went across his face. And now he's been promising me he's going to come to church. I'm hoping he does. His name is Ricky. So pray for him. He needs Jesus in his life. He really does. I got so many I'm praying for. I cannot ever catch up all my prayers of people I love, people I care about. I love my enemies. I've got so many people out there that despise me. I mean, they hate me because I will not compromise. But I still love them. And I pray for them, holding them up to God, believing God to save them. I wouldn't doubt if a dozen don't get saved tomorrow. I would not. I'm believing for that. I'm believing for that. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Now, this Bible is rich. Don't miss next Saturday. I'm promising you. And don't miss my sermon. It'll be up Monday. The one for tomorrow. I really want you to hear it. I really do. And three of my men are preaching tomorrow night on soul winning. One's going to preach on getting people saved and how you need to give them the scripture. One's going to preach on how to pray until somebody gets saved. And one's going to how to get anointed so the Holy Spirit is using you when you're trying to win souls. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Brother Gans is one. Brother Beatty, Dylan, our youth minister, is one. And Brother Derek Conjure is one. These are three wonderful fellas. They know their Bible. They love it. You'll love it tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock here at Paul Creek. But in the morning, I'm preaching. That's my day, my time. Woo, I love my time. I love my time to preach. I love to preach the gospel. I love to preach the word of God. And on Wednesday night, we're studying now things from the book of Revelation, things from different books of the Bible. Last Wednesday night, we studied about the 70 weeks of Daniel. And I'll give you some information about that if you'll come. We've got it in the bulletin for tomorrow. Trying to help everybody learn and grow and get richer and sweeter in the things of God. I want you to get sweet in the things of God. I want you to become so full of the things of God until they are just saturating you. Now, the lines are all open, so I want you to get this. Everybody listening, call right now. Now, I know all of you won't get through, but you can get through one at a time. If the lines are busy, you just wait and call back in 5 minutes and just keep on doing that until you get through. It may take you an hour. That's okay. We want you to have this material. We really do. We want you to grow. We want you to get in your Bible. We want you to get sweet and rich in the things of the Lord, the things of Christ, the wonderful grace of His kingdom. It is wonderful to be a Christian. It is wonderful to serve the Lord. We love serving Him with all of our heart. Now, we've got about a minute to go. Again, remember our website. Just mammoth amount of things on the website. www.paulcreek. It's little P, little A, little W, little C-R-E-E-K.org. Not .com now, .org. Go there and you'll find a college education, a seminary education on our website. I promise. I mean that. It's there. Solid material. It'll change your life. Now, I want to see you in the morning. And I want my partners to not forget me this week. The summer is tough financially. Everybody that loves this program ought to send some material this week. I'm serious. Everybody that loves this program ought to send some money this week to bless us with. A great offering. Oh, that some of you could give a big offering. Some of you could give a big offering. And you would be blessed. We would be blessed, okay? We would be blessed. We love you. We love you much. You're special. You're very special. I love you. You understand me now. When I say I love you, I need you. I want to be your friend. I want you to grow in the things of God. I want your life to be rich and sweet, wonderful. Listen.
What a day. Listen. Glorious day that will be.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace.
Hallelujah.
And when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land.
What a day.
Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Let's worship Him this morning.
Oh, what a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and when I look upon His face,
find
the one who saved me by His grace. And when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Glorious day that will be, and there is coming a day,
hallelujah,
when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, and no more tears to dim the eye. I shall see, and when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace.